Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
9:04 in the a.m. on this chilly Friday morning in Charm City. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy today. Still here with Ed Norris, Joe LaCroix. He's behind the glass. Coming up at 9:30, we'll be joined by Rick Ritter from WJZ. And at 9:15, we'll be joined by our very own Melissa Kim right here on the Big Bad Morning Show. Right now, we're looking at the Week 18 slate in the NFL season, seeing what meaningful games are still happening this weekend. A lot of teams have clinched playoff berths, but seeding matters. A couple division titles up for grabs as well, of course, right here in Baltimore being one of them. But let's look at the other AFC North matchup on Saturday night out in Pittsburgh. Cincinnati going to Pittsburgh. Cincinnati's playoff hopes are on the line, and it's hopes because a win alone won't get them in. They need Miami to lose. They also need Denver to lose as well. But do you feel like Cincinnati gets revenge over the backpedaling Pittsburgh Steelers?
I do. I think they win this game. They have a lot to play for. Burrow's hot, have an incredible year. He's a dangerous guy. And Denver's 9-7, they hold their own fate. If they win, they go. But if they lose and Miami loses, the Bengals are in. Mm-hmm. If Miami wins, they have the tie break over the Bengals as far as conference games. So they have a better conference record. So they'll win if they both win. But the Bengals have a chance. Slim chance, but they have a chance. So to me, that gives you incentive because Pittsburgh's going to the playoffs. They know they're going. And if the Ravens win that division early, I think they have even less to play for.
Yeah, I do wonder, you know, even if the Ravens win the division, if Pittsburgh is still going to say that they're going to try. Because, you know, I think that they want to put together a good outing at some point. It's been a while. They've lost three straight. I mean, going into the playoffs, loses a four straight. Nobody wants that.
Yeah.
And I think Pittsburgh right now, they want to stay in that five seed and play Houston. I don't think they want to fall to the six potentially and have to face Baltimore for the third time, at least not right off the bat.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Houston's the team that everybody wants, I think. Even over a team like Cincinnati that's fighting to get in, I think everybody would rather play the Texans than the Bengals.
Wouldn't you?
I would,
definitely.
For sure.
Yeah.
So a lot, I think, for Pittsburgh to play for, even if they don't end up winning the AFC North. Let's go to Sunday, the 1 o'clock game, Washington out in Dallas taking on the Cowboys. The Cowboys did beat the Commanders in the first matchup out at Northwest Stadium. And the Commanders right now are in the sixth seed in the NFC. They would, as of today, take on the Rams. If they lose and they fall down to the seventh seed, they potentially would face the Eagles in the first round. So that's a big difference.
Yeah.
I think that's a big enough incentive for the Commanders to want to go out there and win that game. That and getting revenge on the Cowboys. But, yeah, I think they'd rather play the Rams than the Eagles.
I would, definitely. And, you know, the other division, it's not even decided yet. Mm-hmm. Actually, neither team is in the playoffs yet is the Falcons, Buccaneers.
Yeah.
So somebody's got to win that division, secure a playoff spot. Buccaneers are in first place at the 9-7, 8-8. Falcons right behind them.
Yeah, Bucs taking on the Saints at 1 o'clock. They're hosting the Saints, so you know you would imagine. I think the Bucs are the best team in the NFC South. Is not saying a lot, but I think when Tampa was healthy, they were legit, you know. But you lose Chris Godwin, you lose Mike Evans for a few weeks. Yeah. You lose a lot of guys on your defense. It's eventually going to take a toll, but yeah. Baker's been amazing this year. 39 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, over 4,200 yards passing. I mean, Baker's having a career year. But like I said, the Bucs, they host the Saints, and the Falcons, they host the Panthers. Winnable games for both of these teams.
Yeah.
How do you see the South shaking out?
The NFC South?
Yeah.
I see the Bucs winning. I think they're actually playing good football right now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Lemon 11. Yeah. They've been playing really good football. Aside from a two-point loss to the Cowboys, you know, they won five out of the last six. And, you know, you only play who they put in front of you. But they did beat the Chargers, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they beat all scrubs. They beat the Giants, the Panthers, the Raiders, and the Panthers again. Not their fault. That's who they play. But they beat the Chargers soundly at 40-17 and just demolished the Panthers 48-14. So, yeah, I think they're doing it right. They're kind of heading into the playoffs with a full head of steam.
Elsewhere in the NFC at 1 o'clock, the Green Bay Packers, they'll host the Chicago Bears. Green Bay currently sits in the 7th seed. They are sliding in to play Philadelphia right now. So them and Washington are kind of in a tug of war right now for that 6th and 7th seed in the NFC. I think both teams want to avoid Philly in the first round if they can. So I think Green Bay is going to try to win this game against Chicago. Same for the Commanders against the Cowboys as well. The Texans, they've been reeling. They take on the Titans last game of the season. They go to Tennessee to take on the Titans. I don't feel good about the Texans, even if they do blow out the Titans, it's expected. But the Texans are a team right now. It's crazy because they were the team that won the offseason Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, they went out and got everybody.
Yeah.
And it just hasn't been a good year for C.J. Stroud. 19 touchdowns to the 12 interceptions. All the weapons that he had to start the year have kind of been decimated now. No Diggs, no Tank Dell. You got Nico Collins still. Joe Mixon has kind of cooled off here over the last month. So I am curious to see what they look like going into the playoffs, but I don't feel good about them.
No, they're enjoying a first place position right now because they're in a terrible division. They're the only team in the division with a winning record, and that's only a 9-7 record.
Right.
So it's not like they're 13-3. They're 9-7. They've already clinched the division because the next best team is 7-9 in Indy, and after that it's 4-12 and 3-13. And it's just a bad division.
Let's go elsewhere. Let's go to some of the later games. The Kansas City Chiefs, they go to Denver to take on the Broncos. Of course, the Broncos are playing for their playoff lives. If they win, they're in.
Yeah. Chiefs are sitting Mahomes.
Yeah, Chiefs are sitting Mahomes. I would imagine they're going to sit other starters as well. At the same time, they got to play somebody.
Yeah.
But I think this is the Broncos game to lose. How do you see this shaking out?
I think the Broncos win. I think without Mahomes, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Kelce sit and guys like that. So I'm assuming they're going to rest some of their starters. And the Broncos actually have a good defense. They're playing for something because if they win, they hold their own fate in their hands. They don't have to rely on anybody else. So if they win, they go into the postseason. So I could see them winning this game. Yeah, no doubt. And Kansas City hasn't impressed me all year, honestly. I sound ridiculous saying it about a 15-1 team, but I mean it. It's like when the Steelers were 11-0 a couple of years ago. Like, nah, I ain't buying this.
Yeah.
Same here.
Yeah, I mean, and I could understand that. I mean, they arguably haven't looked as good, even as good as they looked last year. And they, you know, there was a large part of the season last year where people were saying where the Chiefs aren't going anywhere, and they obviously go on to win a Super Bowl. I'm just not making that mistake again personally, but I understand what you're saying because it's exactly how I feel about the Vikings. Like, I see the Vikings record. I understand it. They're a 14-win team, but
yeah.
I just don't view a Sam Darnold-led team as a true threat right now. That's just me. I just can't. I just can't get myself to do it. But yeah, I mean, a couple of games this weekend will have playoff implications. We went through a handful of them, and I think we could still see teams resting starters just because even in those matchups, it's a lot of lopsided games going into this weekend.
If you look at the Chiefs with their plus-minus differential, they're plus 97. As a 15-1 team, plus 97. You look at other division leaders, like the good ones, like the Eagles, 153. The Lions, plus 200. Let's see. The Bills, plus 164. The Ravens, plus 132. Plus 97 is not very impressive for a 15-1 team.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And, you know, again, they just... I'm at the point now where I think that they're just trying to find new ways to win championships.
They do. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
They need a challenge. They're finding ways. And to their credit, they've gotten healthier as the year has gone on. The Mahomes injury is probably the one blemish, but they've gotten guys like Hollywood back. They added D-Hop. They got Isaiah Pacheco back. So still to be determined. And Chris Jones is going through the injury that he suffered, 2 weeks ago. He missed that Christmas Day game because of it. So I am curious to see what they look like in the postseason, if they're going to be the Chiefs that we've seen.
And Chris
over
Jones
the last
is the most important years. Player in that defense.
Yep.
Well, if he's not healthy, that's a bad sign for them.
Coming up next here on the Big Bad Morning Show, we'll be joined by Melissa Kim. We'll get her thoughts on this weekend's game, Ravens against the Browns. Ravens going for the AFC North title. We'll talk to Melissa about that and more next here on The Fan. 9:18 in the AM. We got Joe fist pumping. That must mean Melissa Kim is on her way. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy today here with Ed Norris. My guy Joe LaCroix on the ones and twos, joining us now on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It is our very own Melissa Kim. Melissa, what's going on?
Hey, hi, Ed. Happy New Year, guys.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, too. I know it's probably so strange hearing me this early in the morning, so you don't have to pinch yourself. It's not a dream.
No, listen, any day that I was telling Joe on the phone before, I was like, okay, maybe I don't have to be like, Cordell's here. Cordell and I are always so nice to each other. So, you know, maybe I can breathe for a second and not have to think about being on my toes all the time. But come on, Cordell, what you got this morning?
Yeah, I mean, look, we're trying to dress this game up as best as we can for tomorrow. Thankfully, there is a division title up for grabs, but we talk all year about, you know, the playoffs and Super Bowl or bust for the Ravens. Does that, in your mind, kind of minimize winning the division title?
No, I don't think so. I think that, look, the division is always the goal, right, for most teams. This one in particular, especially at the beginning of the season, you hear them talk about it during training camp. You know, when people are talking about Super Bowl, they're like, hold up, like, wait, we wanted to win the division. That's always our number one goal. And so it's hard to not minimize this game, I think, from a fan perspective, for sure, because we're all just like, all right, they're in the playoffs already. Like, you know, this is kind of whatever. But no, I think that winning the division is really important, especially because it's between, you know, them and the Steelers at the moment right now. And basically the division will be decided after this game. So I think it's more concerning if you're if you play for the Steelers or you're rooting for the Steelers. But for the Ravens, it's in their hands, and I think that's where you want to be, right? You want to be able to, I hate this phrase so much, but control your own destiny. So I think that the Ravens are definitely looking at it like that when I talk to them this week.
So what do you think about Justin Tucker being named an alternate to the Pro Bowl?
Oh, did you bring up Justin Tucker for a reason? For background, literally every week when
Forget
Justin
it.
Was not making kicks, these guys would literally bring him up, and I would be so upset about it. And they're like, "You're acting like your dog just died," and I'm just like, "Okay, but like Justin Tucker is such like a face of this franchise, and he's like the nicest human ever, and like obviously a Hall of Famer. Like, why are you making it sound like you're putting my dog down? Like, stop." But anyways, what do I think about it? I think it's great for him. Okay, Ed, I think it's just. You know, him making these like 50 plus yarders in these last couple of games has been so great for his swagger and so great for his confidence. So yes, I'm a fan of it. Thank you very much.
You know, I was just kidding, and you didn't have to answer any of that.
Well, I did anyway, so that you couldn't come back at me with anything. So there.
We're talking to Melissa Kim, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Melissa, sticking with that, Daniel Faalele, he was another one of the alternates, and, you know, a lot of conversation about that and how much, you know, we should put, how much stock we should put into that. But how do you view it when you see Faalele as an alternate?
Guys, I love this man so much. Okay, so I've really gotten to know him a lot better over the course of the season. I've talked to him almost pretty every week. And look, for all, like you said, Cordell, like, you know, the criticism, the compliments have got to be as loud as the criticism, right? He is someone that I heard even some people call him like a human turnstile at the beginning of the season. You know, like, he definitely took his fair share of a lot of heavy criticism. And, you know, some of it was warranted probably, and I know that he knows that. But, you know, he did something that was, like, pretty difficult when you think about it. Not everybody can switch positions on the line and going from a tackle to a guard is a pretty tough feat for someone as big as he is, you know, and he's someone that really only filled in for Morgan Moses last season. And so I think that the development that he's had and seen over the course of the season has been so significant. And actually, he got a little choked up when I talked to him one-on-one in the locker room this week, because we were talking about Joe D a little bit, and you know, this group has grown so close together over the course of the season. I think in part because of that, obviously, but it's like a natural occurrence over the course of, you know, like 20 weeks or so. But I think that he was saying that, you know, he said that he hopes that Joe D is proud of him, you know, for everything he's accomplished this season. Right. And like, he is someone that I know Joe D got on a lot last year. Like, and he would be like, Daniel, like yelling at him all the time. And Fatwele told me, he's like, you know, that was his love language. Like, that was how you knew that he cared about you, was when he like, yelled at you and got on you and was tough on you. So he's like, I definitely knew that about him. But he's like, I really hope that he's like, he's proud of like everything that I've done. And I think that he absolutely would be, you know.
Hey, what about the Steelers-Bengals game? I've picked Cincinnati. I feel like they have something to play for. They're very hungry, and they can actually head to the playoffs with a victory here. And, of course, you know, the other two losing. Do you think they're gonna, the Steelers win even although they're home?
No, absolutely not. Look, it's like kind of disappointing for like the Bengals in a way, if you're a Bengals fan, or just kind of even from a neutral standpoint, because Joe Burrow is playing his freaking butt off,
incredible,
you know,
year.
And it's been really fun. Again, except when they're playing the Ravens, it's been kind of fun to watch him and Jamar Chase and, you know, Andre Yoshivas and like all these guys, T. Higgins, you know, coming back from injury. It's been like really fun to watch this Bengals offense in particular. I think their defense is like horrendous, but I kind of, from a human neutral standpoint, I do kind of feel bad for Joe, because I mean, he's putting up like record career numbers right now, and your team is like maybe 500, you know, over the course of the season.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that they definitely have something to play for. Yeah, I mean, to get a spot in the playoffs, why not? You know, obviously there are other factors that need to happen. But, I mean, you know, they're going to absolutely do what they can do to control their situation. But, yeah, I mean, I do feel bad for Joe in a way. Like, you know, and especially with how young he is. But he's got plenty of years to go. But, I mean, the way that he's throwing the ball this year and the way that this O-line, the Bengals O-line is playing, has been absolutely absurd. It's been fun to watch.
Yeah, and for people who don't know, he's leading the NFL in passing yards with 46-41, in touchdowns with 42, only 8 interceptions. He's having an incredible year. So.
Yeah, it's so disappointing for him. Like, you know what I mean? Because, like, listen, I've heard a lot of chatter lately about the whole whole MVP situation, like Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, like Lamar, obviously. And people are saying, like, you know, the stats, the straight numbers. If you don't know the straight numbers, I mean, Joe Burrow's in the conversation too, you know? So obviously there are more factors that go into intangibles and all that than just numbers, of course, as we know. But, I mean, Joe's putting up such a phenomenal performance this year. You can't not put him in the conversation of not MVP, but like, you know, having like a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
Melissa, great stuff. Really appreciate your time this morning. Hopefully you had a great holidays, and I'll see you at the game tomorrow.
Yeah, I will see you at the game tomorrow
as well. Cool.
It's going to be cold. Everyone's talking about the snow, so everybody dress warm if you're coming to the game.
Be sure to do that for sure, because I will. And we're in a box,
yeah,
but it doesn't matter. I'm still going to dress warm for sure. Melissa, appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Coming up next here on the Big Bad Morning Show, we'll be joined by Rick Ritter from WJZ. We'll get his thoughts on tomorrow's game, the Week 18 slate as a whole, and we'll find out what winning the AFC North means to him. That's next here on The Fan. 9:33 in the AM on this Friday morning in Charm City, January 3rd, 2025, first Friday of the year. Let's make it a good one. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy this morning here with Ed Norris, Joe LaCroix behind the glass. Coming up at 9:45, we'll get you our encore from today and tell you what we learned from today as well. But joining us right now on the Fan Guest Hotline, sponsored by Window Nation, is Rick Ritter from WJZ. Good morning, Rick.
Hey, Cordell. How you guys doing? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, man. And we've been dressing up this game tomorrow. Ravens going for the AFC North title tomorrow afternoon as they host the Cleveland Browns, who are suiting up Joes at this point. I mean, honestly, it's about to be Joes versus Pros potentially by 6 p.m. tomorrow evening here in Baltimore. But what are you looking at for this game? Is there a certain way that you want to see Baltimore look in this game, or is it just, hey, go get that title, and if you can, rest, guys? Do you need to see them win a sort of way? Because I think back to that Giants game after the bye, I felt like they needed to blow them out, and they did. Do you feel like this is a similar type of instance?
That was the tone setter, that game specifically, coming off the bye, having a loss at the right time against the Eagles, a week to kind of cool the Jets, reset, and get the mind right for this later part of the season. And since then, and I said back then, it was a pivotal part of the year. You're going to see what this team is made of. And you have seen, from that point on, dominance in many forms on both sides of the football. And that's exactly what I'm looking for tomorrow. I don't want to see any slow starts. I don't want to see a lackluster game. Keep it going, because it's a five-week season right now. Mindset 1-0 every single week. It is a five-week season. You know what got you here. You know what type of football you're playing right now. High ends on both sides of the ball. Keep it going. Finish the drill. Get it done on Saturday. And then move forward to week one in terms of playoffs, hosting the game at home.
As they head to the playoffs, hopefully they do win tomorrow in a lopsided manner. Who would you rather face in the playoffs? Would you rather face Houston team, Los Angeles, Pittsburgh?
I mean, I guess you got to go outside the division, right? You never want to see Pittsburgh, just in terms of the history that's there.
Three times in a season.
Yeah, that's a tough one. You've already seen them two times, and to see them a third time, it's never easy. I mean, it works for both teams. I wouldn't mind seeing Houston. I think Houston is a team that's battled a lot of injuries. I feel like the Ravens had their number dating back to the postseason last year. They handled business at home. They handled business on Christmas. That's a team that I wouldn't mind playing at all. And C.J. Stroud, after the phenomenal year that he had as a freshman quarterback, rookie quarterback, he's kind of taken a step back. And they've lost some guys between Diggs and Tank Dell. Just not the team that they were at the start of the season. Joe Mixon has obviously lost some steam as well. I would love to see Houston for the first round of the playoffs.
Rick, you look at this defense, and obviously it's been one of the bright spots in the second half of the season. First half of the season, they were one of the worst defenses in the league, and over the last couple of months, that's changed. They're at best a middle of the pack defense right now. What has kind of been the change that you have kind of liked the most that the defense has made?
Well, we say all the time, and Torrey Smith talks about this too, when you have a good defensive line and you have guys that are getting after the quarterback on a consistent basis, it makes it easier for the back end of the secondary. These guys are not having to sit in coverage long because you're getting a ton of pressure with your front three, your front four. And whether it's Madubuike on the inside or Kyle Van Noy on the outside, this defensive line going all the way back to week one and week two, when we were sitting there and we were saying, do they have enough juice on this defensive line and in the trenches to get the job done? And it was a big question. It was a valid question. Did they do enough in the offseason to up their game in that aspect? And they have just overperformed in every single category, led by Pro Bowl snub Kyle Van Noy, everything that he's been through and the A's that he's at, 11.5 sacks. This defensive line has done everything they can to put this unit on their back, and they make it easier for the guys on the back end and that secondary who don't have to sit in coverage for 5, 6, 7 seconds when these guys are getting pressure on the quarterback.
What about the Bengals? They're facing the Steelers. They have something to play for. If the Broncos and Dolphins lose and they win, they are in the postseason. And I don't know if anybody really wants to face them in the postseason, given the year Burrow's having. So how do you see that game turning out between them and Pittsburgh?
Ed, I am with you. It's not being talked about enough. Maybe it's the fact that so many things have to happen for them to sneak in. But I'm telling you right now, Cincinnati gets in, they're going to make some noise.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow and that offense, they are clicking notoriously over the past couple of years. They always start off slow, and it always ends up shooting them in the foot in the back end of the season. But if they're going to win tomorrow or Sunday, whenever they play. And if they can get everything else around them to fall into place the way they need it to, and it is a lot, I'm not overlooking that, they are going to get in and make some noise. Joe Burrow, you could argue, right with Lamar and Josh Allen, MVP-type season. Like, he should be in that conversation for all the injuries that they have dealt with, whether it's been T. Higgins who's been out or Chase Brown or offensive line issues. He is slinging it as good as anybody. If he had a defense who could actually stop somebody, Cincinnati would probably be an 11-win team right now.
No doubt.
If they get in, they will absolutely make some noise, and they are a team that no doubt in my mind can go to Kansas City, can go to Buffalo, and win a game there. I mean, heck, Joe has done it before.
Yeah. And for the record, the Vegas has them as 2.5-point favorites on the road in Pittsburgh.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, I think that speaks volumes.
Yeah.
We're speaking to Rick Ritter from WJZ. He joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's the Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. And Rick, this has been a bounce back year for a couple of these veteran Ravens, Marlon Humphrey being one of them, who had an injury riddled season last year. He's a Pro Bowler now, having a borderline All Pro year. The other one is Ronnie Stanley. Ronnie Stanley, another one coming off of an injury riddled season. And the key for Ronnie was just staying available and playing at a high level. And for the most part, he's done that this year. I think Ronnie has bounced back in a big way. He's a free agent after this year. As of now, do you feel like Ronnie should be back next year?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, look, those are two guys right there that before the season and even in the offseason, you're talking about cap casualty when you're looking at those numbers. And the way that they performed last year, you're kind of sitting there and you're looking at the year-to-year basis and you're saying, do they have an option to get out here at a reasonable amount and kind of just part ways? And what happens? Both guys go out there and they play out of their mind this season, especially Ronnie Stanley. I mean, geez, tackles like him are not easy to come by. I think at this point, with the way that he has played this season, I mean, arguably the best season of his career, one of them at least, you have to do what you can to bring him back, because guys like that are just not sitting around out there in free agency. They're not sitting around in terms of plug and plays in the draft when you're picking that much later in the first round. He's been a heck of a player this year. Everybody, and rightfully so, after the AFC Championship game last year, everybody has been on his tail for the way that he performed last year and a lackluster performance. He is the guy that has come out this year, put the work into the offseason, and he has held it down on that side of the offensive line. And he is a huge part of why that offense has had a lot of success, and especially Lamar Jackson. I think you got to find a way to bring Ronnie back next year.
Yep. Let's switch over to the other conference for a second. Lions and Vikings both 14-2, but the Eagles are 13-3. Who do you think is the best? I mean, we know you're an Eagles fan. Who's the best team in the NFC right now? Eagles are the only team in that conference who've given up under 300 points defensively. They got an incredible defense this year, and they sit atop the NFC East.
Yeah, it's not being talked about enough. I mean, the Eagles last year pretty much dead last in every single defensive category. That's how horrible they were last year. It was the downfall of the team. It's why they completely fell apart after starting 10-1. Vic Fangio and what he's been able to do with that unit is just, it's unbelievable to say the least. He should be a head coaching candidate. The Eagles are the real deal on both sides of the ball, and it starts in the trenches. They have the best offensive line in football. Jeff Stoutland, everybody knows, a legendary offensive line coach. But then on the defensive side, Jalen Carter, who is absolutely in the conversation with guys like Kyle Hamilton for Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, he wreaks havoc, whether he's being double-team, triple-team, it does not matter. They're a dangerous team, and they're absolutely a squad that can go into Detroit or Minnesota, depending upon who wins this weekend, and they can win on the road. They have talent at every single position. Obviously, they're having their way with teams in terms of in the trenches on the offensive side and opening up holes for Saquon to just run loose and do his thing. 2,000-plus yards. He's not going to get a chance to crack the record. But what he has done at the running back position and the holes that offensive line had created, making his job easy, it is one of the most amazing performances, for a lack of better words, that we have seen on the offensive side of football in league history.
Rick, you got a score prediction for tomorrow?
I don't have a score prediction. The Ravens are going to win. Just the way that they are in the zone right now and they are locked in. It's like since that bye, Lamar has put that offense on his back. He knows what's at stake. Everybody still has that bad taste in their mouth after last year's loss in the AFC Championship. And I think these guys have been through so much over the past couple of years. They've been on the road and they've lost in the playoffs. They've been at home and lost in the playoffs. They know what it takes. It's all in front of you now. Use everything in terms of experience that you have had over the past couple of years. Take it with you and go out there and do your 111th. Do your job, and you will be sitting pretty in a couple of weeks.
A lot to a little. That's all we can guess right now, for sure. Rick, really appreciate your time this morning. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll talk again down the line.
Cordell, Ed, have a great weekend, guys.
Thank you, man.
Coming up next here on the Big Bad Morning Show, we'll get you today's encore from Joe LaCroix. We'll also tell you what we learned today. That's next here on The Fan. Welcome into the Big Bad Morning Show at 6:02 a.m. in Charm City. Cordell Woodland filling in for Rob and Jeremy here with Ed Norris, my guy, still behind the glass. I'm still trying to get my brain to wake up this morning. I can't tell you the last time I was up before the sun was up. So the fact that I got here today is already a win in my book. But I think I've said this to you before, Ed. I don't envy you guys waking up at God knows. I'm sure you get up earlier than I do.
Yeah, I usually get up at 3:30.
Man, that's probably when I'm just hitting the peak sleep, you know, just getting into the REM sleep at that
point. Exactly when I'm hitting the peak sleep. That's why I'm always exhausted. You get up in the middle of REM sleep. And just so you know, it's 6:02 in the a.m.
Yeah. Right. 6:02
in the a.m.
Right.
And that was the encore. Lion's Den sponsors it. Lion's Den, explore without limits. Embrace your curiosity. I recommend you go there and load up for the weekend because you can get snowed in, so it'll give you something to do.
Yeah, and look, at least you'll be able to sleep through that snowstorm this weekend. We all will be able to. We see the sun out now. It's not going to be the sunniest day, it looks like, but, you know, it's out. It's not pitch black anymore, so that's
good.
It's
that time of year. It's like gray until April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just get me back to the time where we get back to the daylight savings time or whatever it is, where the clock goes back an hour. I need more sunlight. I need the sun out at 8 p.m.
Yeah. Spring's ahead.
Yeah, ahead. So an hour ahead. Yeah, I need that.
People don't really. We get more rain here than Seattle, and people think Seattle's a wet place. Baltimore gets more rainfall. It's a can be a dreary place for a lot of the year.
That might be what I learned today.
There you go.
That might be what I learned today. Let's get to what we learned today. Yeah, I mean, up until now, I didn't know that. I always thought of Seattle as like a heavy rain place. But yeah, that was news to me. I also found out today that Jimmy Butler is just so unhappy on the court with the Miami Heat. He's miserable right now. His agent for a while was going pushing back on Shams on all these trade rumor reports that Jimmy had. And Jimmy yesterday, after last night's loss, kind of let it all out in the post-game press conference, saying he's not happy on the court in Miami. He started saying things like, wherever I'm playing next, he's ready to go. I just wonder if Pat's going to play ball and actually ship Jimmy out. He doesn't have to, but is it worth it to keep him around if he's not going to? Jimmy's barely even trying offensively these days.
That's a shame because I really like him.
Yeah. I am disappointed that it's getting to the point to where I'm questioning, is he giving it his all? Because that's not Jimmy Butler.
No, definitely not. He's one of those guys in the NBA. I don't care who's bigger than him. I wouldn't mess with Jimmy Butler.
Right.
He's an intense guy, man.
What you got?
Well, one thing I have is I just want to give you, actually, Maryland gets 43.5 inches of rain a year. Seattle gets 39.
Mm.
Baltimore even gets a half inch more.
Is this new recently over the last couple? This has always been the case?
Less since I've been looking. I just noticed it was really rainy here, and I started just checking in because everybody bitches about Seattle. I'm like, no. It's good cocktail party information. But I just want to talk about what I learned was there's some really cool people out there listening to this show. Early this morning, like first break, Gina Crash from 109 walks in, and she's got a package for me, and I didn't order anything, and I don't know what the company was and all, but Matthew Miller from Chesapeake Structures apparently obviously listens to the show because I mentioned when I was a kid I was a Houston Oilers fan. I loved Earl Campbell. I loved the uniforms. I loved everything about the Oilers. And what it was inside the box, a beautiful brand-new starter jacket, Houston Oilers starter jacket in light blue and red and their colors. And I just think that's what a nice surprise that was. It really was. And thoughtful because I've only mentioned it a couple of times.
So they were listening.
Yeah, clearly. I mean, yeah. I don't talk about the Oilers every day. They don't exist other than the bitch that Tennessee is the Oilers now.
Right.
And they ruin everything.
That jacket is dope.
Yeah, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I'm from the starter era myself. You know, it was on the. It probably started to die off in my childhood, but I had the starter jackets, the starter sweatsuits, and stuff. But that the Oilers have a good color scheme in general.
Fantastic uniform.
So yeah, it makes it easy to make some of their stuff look good. But I do like that jacket.
You know, you were the second iteration of starter.
Oh, so
they started in 1971.
Oh, so the 70s are the real start.
We had starter jackets in the 70s.
I am thinking we made it cool. I thought we made it cool. Right. I'm a late 80s baby, 88 to be specific.
That's all right. My son thinks he discovered the Doors.
Right.
He wears all the stuff I wore as a kid. Oh, here we go.
I discovered Reebok. What are you talking about?
Well, actually, yeah, Asics, they were Tiger when I was a kid. And now they're back. And like, you go to Journeys, you get all the retro Tigers and all that stuff, but I was wearing those as a teenager.
It's crazy. Asics are in style now. Like, as a kid, we couldn't wear, they weren't in style for us. Yeah. They were around, but we didn't want them. You know, right. It was Jordans, Nike, all that stuff.
Like New Balance is cool all of a sudden.
New Balance, now, you know, I grew up in D.C. We always wore New Balance out there, but I will say now it seems like everybody is on New Balance.
Major League Baseball.
Yeah. Big time.
The cleats are New Balance.
Sport, all these athletes signing with New Balance, Kawhi and all these guys, Coco Golf.
Yep.
So, yeah, New Balance is definitely booming right now. It's been great sitting in for Rob and Jeremy today. I'm fully awake now and appreciate you for dragging me along, Joe. Great job as always.
Always like working with you.
Don't touch that dial. Vinny and Haney, they're up next. Have a great and safe weekend, everybody.